Hello, hello, and welcome to Self Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I interviewed Rachel Adams, a powerhouse realtor who learned quickly exactly how to make self-care a part of her amazing daily life. And as a consequence, she's now living out her dream life. She hooked us up with some great suggestions, exercises, and even a book to check out. It was a really great show, you guys. And if you missed out, you want to check her out, want to get connected, head over to the website. That's www.selfcaresexy.com. And under the podcast tab, look for episode number 31. And now for this week's show, I'll be talking to you about the compound effect. It's a life hack that I have basically molded into self-care methods, and it unlocks the benefits of self-care. So you can supercharge your life and make things way easier on you. The compound effect and applying it to your life, it gives you additional free time, like extra energy, that spark that you need to move forward in whatever area of your life is not going so well. It's basically a tool that helps make setting yourself up for success just like another part of your day. I'm going to totally get into what the compound effect is, like how it relates to self-care, and I'm even going to go through 5 different ways that you can use it right now. But first, I need to go through a few quick housekeeping notes. So first off, I want to acknowledge that last week my website went down, and if you follow the podcast, you know you still got your weekly episode, but the website was completely down. Yay, technology, woo! We're not quite sure if it was Putin, but we've got our people looking into it. So I wanted to take a moment to just empathize with you. You know, if you were trying to connect with me or a resource or the podcast or something this week and from my site and you were unable to do so, I completely apologize. I did learn something very valuable through that entire experience, and I'll share that with you a bit later on. Next up on housekeeping, I want to let you know I will be hosting another Self-Care Sexy brunch for November. That'll be November the 20th. Now, that is the Sunday before the holidays. I know a lot of people are going to be traveling. We do have the option for you to attend that brunch virtually through Google Hangout. So if you're interested, please email me. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. Also, an event coming up that I'm supporting big time. It's coming up November 9th. That's a Wednesday night. Revolution Comedy is hosting a comedy event in support of Black Lives Matter. And my friend Andy Main will be there churning out the laughs. She's soon to be on our show, so I want you guys to go and check her out. She's funny as hell. Last but not least, please, please, please take the time out to rate this podcast on iTunes or share it with a friend. If you've learned anything from this show, a tip or idea that's really helped you out, or if you really just enjoy the show, please share it, tell a friend, and help me get everyone we know out there practicing self-care. All right, the content. So thanks, you guys. Thank you so much for that. So for today's show, we're talking about the compound effect. I'll have the book listed on the resources page at the website for you to go check out. But the compound effect is a life habit concept. And I first learned about it actually through Future Business Leaders of America class way back in the 90s when I was still in high school. And it's just really stuck with me all these years. It's just been something that I've learned and now I've adapted it to work for my self-care as well. So there's a book out there you can check out. It's by Darren Hardy. He's kind of a big deal, so it's a good book. Go check it out. So in a nutshell, the compound effect is this principle of developing and perfecting daily habits that make your life basically automated, all right? So the habits that you set yourself up for success, you know, what's one habit you've developed or carried through your life that has helped make you successful? So many aspects of our life are completely out of our control. So this principle, it helps us to run smoothly the things that we can control. The idea is that you just develop this daily habit and you do what works over and over and over again, making that life habit what you do even when you're not thinking about it. And then you kind of build on top of that previous success. You keep the momentum going because it becomes a routine. It becomes the way you are. You automate the habits, the daily rituals that will create lasting, sustainable success. In any goal that you might have, I always feel like, you know what, examples really help to explain these kind of bigger concepts. And you can go geek out on the book and get all way into it, but I just want to break it down by giving you like a quick hypothetical example. So let's say that you have the goal to lose weight. And maybe it's been pretty hard for you. You know, even if you don't think you have, I bet that you can find something successful about your past weight loss successes and failures. So let's think of a habit that helped you have some kind of success with your weight loss. And maybe that habit was drinking water. We'll use that one for example. So if you choose to make drinking water a priority every day, and you laser in on that habit, and you do whatever you have to make that habit stick. You buy a bunch of different water bottles, you've got one on the nightstand, one full in the bathroom, and you make yourself drink the entire thing before you leave the bathroom for the day, or maybe you have flavored water in the house as a treat, or you have an ice dispenser full of cut up lemons and cucumbers to kind of infuse your water to make it more enticing. Perhaps you set an alarm on your phone to remind you, like, hey, time to drink your water. You know, you just do whatever you can do to make drinking water a priority. And that's the compound effect. You know, you track it, you keep doing it until basically you're drinking a gallon of water. It's as automated as brushing your teeth. You've found the time to do it because you've created the space in your life to make it a habit. You perfect the habits that lead to the goal. And you stop focusing on the end goal. You stop obsessing over the number on the scale or the big important event that's coming up and the dress you have to wear or whatever. You just focus on the water, the small thing that you can control right in front of you. And then water becomes second nature. You literally, your body will start to get thirsty without that gallon of water every day. And so then that becomes just a way of your life. It becomes so much so that no matter what catastrophe is going on, you're going to make sure you have water around. It'll just become a part of who you are. And that's it. It's that simple. The compound effect is a process of setting yourself up for success and making it a habit. The trick is, you have to create the process for yourself. Making a habit stick is hard enough, believe me, but it's absolutely impossible to do if you don't have the why you're doing it, the principle behind it. The compound effect is just all about ways to create those habits for you. So I wanted to share real quickly what I experienced as a result of this compound effect in place in my life, and just to give you another tangible example. As many of you already know, I strive toward accomplishing stuff. And when I encounter barriers, I can get super stressed out and anxious. I start worrying about the future, you know, how many opportunities were lost for me during this outage. Just like everyone else, you know, I have a lot of those anxieties and fear. And I really do want to take the time right now to celebrate that while I did, you know, freak out a few days after this outage, like the first day I was like, okay, the website's down, that sucks. The second day I was like, this is kind of weird, what's going on? Third and fourth day, you know, the anxiety is starting to escalate. It's starting to become like, this is an issue. So on the fourth day of not being able to like add any new content or, you know, just follow my automated compound success schedule of when I work on the self-care is sexy stuff, I didn't let that grab my attention and then lose focus. I gave the fear and anxiety one day. So on the fourth day of the website being down, I said, okay, I can't control this right now. Something's going on. It's out of my control. I'm going to release it to the universe and just say, it's going to work out. I don't know how, but whatever, it's going to work out. And I didn't let that fear of what could happen take down my whole life. I went back to the things that I can control, like eating healthy, getting that activity in, taking the downtime for my self-care, all of that. And if the plan is in place, and once it's working and it's kind of going, when things totally go like nuts, balls, wackadoodle in your life, you can get through it seemingly like unfazed, or at least, you know, not operating out of fear. Like during my website outage, if I was, you know, not applying this compound effect, these habits that I put in place, I would have gone right back to fear. And out of that fear freak out mode, I might have canceled my subscription to the hosting site, or you made some other major decision that should never be made out of fear. Okay. You get it. You've got examples. Moving on. So how does this relate to self-care? Well, for most of us, self-care is not a habit. We carry all this guilt around about like not doing enough for others, and we are so acutely aware of other people's needs, but we're consistently giving ourselves the shaft. And we have a ton of stuff to get done, but we really, really just need some downtime, like to turn the brain off, maybe do some breathing exercises or taking a walk or whatever. But, you know, that is to say that self-care is not an excuse to not take care of your obligations. But when you're using the compound effect with your self-care and you're applying that principle to your self-care, you create all these incredible pockets of free time you didn't even know you had. You start being in charge of your own time and what you're doing with it. So again, a way that I can relate this to self-care, a good friend of mine, Jamie, is out on tour with her band, The Shrike, and she asked me to look in on her cat. Now, that's an obligation, right? When you commit to doing a favor for a friend, going over to their house and feeding their cat while they're out of town, that's an obligation. But using the compound effect, knowing that that was now kind of replacing something else that I was going to be doing in my schedule, I took a book, bought myself a nice treat, coffee on the way over, and just sat out and relaxed with the kitty and enjoyed my book and got a ton of writing done. So I fulfilled my obligation and I got my self-care in because I'm using that compound effect. The habit of doing what you say you're going to do and being there for your friends and infusing with that the taking the time for the reading, the writing, the downtime, and the just quiet alone time. So that gives you an idea of how you can apply that compound effect to your own self-care. So, okay, now that you have like a basic overview of what the compound effect is, a layer cake of loving habits that just make life easier, that you rinse and repeat until they become like breathing, and you can now see how they relate to self-care. So let's just walk you through the five different ways that you can use the compound effect right now. All right, number one, set a goal. Now be intentional and make it something measurable, but set a goal that means something to you. You know, look at the people you admire and see what qualities they possess. There's something to be said for what you admire. You know, it's a glimpse into who we are or what we wanna be. Word. You know, I mean, look at someone you admire and see what they've accomplished in their life. The best way to find a goal is to think of something you've always wanted to do or be or feel. You know, for me, it's seeing Paris and playing my clarinet in the park under the Eiffel Tower in like a beautiful, sexy dress with leopard print heels that cost a fortune, but that are all for me, or owning my own home, free and clear, no debt. Being able to, you know, add on to it, garden, and just build my own sanctuary, that's always been a goal. So, you know, so you let your mind wander a little bit down into fantasy land and dream big, baby, dream big, you know, and that's how you set a real goal. It's fun, you know, you don't have to think small. You might want to start small if you're not good at setting goals or if this is a brand new thing for you. A small goal might be, I want to make self-care a priority at least 2 times a week this next week. I want to do 2 things this next week in the next 7 days that are just for me, that are about my priorities. That would be a small goal. Number two on how to use this compound effect is develop a, quote, pre-shot routine. So I have a wonderful friend who is a professional pool player. And she talks about how every time she gets ready to go and make a shot on the pool table, she takes a look at the table and she has a very set step-by-step thing that she does, a very specific way. She steps her leg, puts her knee down, drops her elbow. You know, there's a very specific thing. A lot of basketball players talk about it too. If you ever watch professional NBA players, like when they go to take their free throw shots, they'll do, like, you know, they'll lick their hands, stomp their feet. You know, hockey players do it all the time. And it's applicable in the real life. You know, some things you cannot control, like the weather or your car not starting or not landing a project or getting a nasty email from an ex. But what you can control is your daily pre-shot routine. This is a task, like, seriously, it's a tactic that we can use to ground ourselves before performing. Tony Robbins, you know, the famous public speaker, he has a pre-shot or like a pre-show routine. I don't know if you've seen that new documentary, I'm Not Your Guru, but they show him bouncing on a trampoline and like saying a certain phrase to himself just before he goes on stage. That's an example of a pre-shot routine. Smart people develop habits that they do over and over and over again to set themselves up for success. They do it on the micro level, like a pre-shot routine, and they do it on the macro level. So some of my pre-shot routines include laying out my outfits for the week. You know, after I've done laundry, I kind of put them together, including shoes and the tights and the jewelry and the whole deal. So it's completely automated. I cannot tell you how much time I have wasted in my life standing in front of my closet. They're my clothes, people. I bought them. I know what's in my closet. And like, confounded on what I'm going to wear for that day, right? It's crazy town. So setting your outfits out for the week. Meal prepping, that's a big pre-shot routine in my life. Trying as hard as I can. It's a challenge. I'll be honest with you, I'm not as successful with it as I'd like to be, but that's what this is all about. Self-care is about developing these habits in a loving and self-compassionate way. So I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. Another one is turning off my technology when I'm spending time with people I love. And this is a good one I highly encourage. It is definitely a challenge. But if you just make that your kind of pre-shot routine when you're hanging out with people, when you've got time that you've scheduled for lunch with a friend or you're going to go visit the moms or something like that, I just turn off the phone. I just make an automatic habit that unless something we're doing needs the technology to do it, I'm fully focused on the human being in front of me, not the Facebook feed that I can check in 10 minutes and it's always going to be the same anyway. Okay, so number three on this list of how to use the compound effect right now in your life is tracking. I've learned the power of tracking many ways. Basically, I've been journaling my entire life. And I mean, just journaling like my daily thoughts and my dreams to my Weight Watchers, of course, tracking my food in my food journal, to just tracking like my productivity through like the timekeeping I do at work. I track and I absolutely love tracking as a life hack. It's a true tool that has helped me in all areas of my life. I also set monthly reminders to kind of review the materials that I've tracked. I usually utilize the Sunday that I do our self-care sexy brunch to kind of go back over my month and look through whatever it is I've been tracking to see kind of my progress and identify like what worked, what didn't work, etc. And that's why I love my passion planner so much. This thing is seriously, it's really helped me a lot. And you know, I'm not getting paid to say that. I'm just telling you this because it works. Tracking is like what's going on, you know, it's like the thing. Just keeping an account, you know, a captain's log, if you will. If you've listened to the show, you know, I mean, I just love journaling as a form of self-care. It's helped me to know exactly what I want out of this life. It's given me a plan and it's a way to look back and learn from the experiences. I mean, tracking alone can kind of, it can help give you this kind of guidance or inner direction. It's like a roadmap to where you're going and where you've been. It's a super powerful tool. You can use the tracking, like I said, for your food, for your thoughts, for your dreams. I know a lot of people keep dream journals. Or traits of the ideal partner you're looking for. I love tracking. You know, I keep lists of things and ideas and accomplishments and things. So that way I can see what works and what, like, daily systems I have in place that make my life run well. So it could be like a gratitude journal at night. Maybe 5 things you were grateful for that day. It could be like the note section of your phone, your iPhone, or I'm sure there's an app for there. There are all sorts of ways to track, and no matter what way you choose to do it, just tracking can make your life easier. Number 4 in my ways that you can use that compound effect right now is identifying your triggers or bad habits. So just as we were talking about training as a tool to help you, the who, what, where, when, and whatever that prompts you to start your bad habits. Like, that's key to identifying. So, oh my gosh, you guys. So this is some next level shit. And I've actually been working on this for a while. And I want to be transparent with you guys. It's not going well for me. I mean, you know, I can see a few of my triggers. I can kind of recognize them. But recently, I've enlisted the help of others, some guidance from other people to kind of see what they can see. I discovered one, and I kind of want to share it with you as an example. So, recently I hired a personal trainer. I'm trying to get fit, right? That's a goal of mine. It's very important to me. I've gained and lost a lot of weight in my life. So I thought a personal trainer might just be that thing to help make the healthy lifestyle easy and automated. So just to kind of help me and be an accountability coach, to really work with me. And so, my first training session with her, we go over to the counter to do some modified push-ups. And, you know, I'm doing these modified push-ups, and at first I was kind of timid, and she kind of called me out about it, and I just, like, reacted to her just, like, knee-jerk reaction. I spouted out that I didn't want to break her counter, you know, and I meant it as a joke. It just so happens that I was the butt of that particular joke, and she called me out for it. And I realized, like, that when I'm feeling insecure, I get down on myself. Like, I jump in, I join that party. And she saw it. She spotted it and called it right out. You know, self-degree to the third degree, you know? Yo, like, how bad do we need this? I mean, I've been working on this stuff for months, and that came out of my face. So, trying to identify the different triggers and the bad habits around us, it might be that, you know, every time you work too late at night, you end up grabbing fast food on the way home. Or it may be that you overcommit to a bunch of different things, and then that makes you stay up late every night. So it's going to take a lot of work. I'm here with you. I'm doing it with you. We're going to figure this out together. How do we identify our triggers and our bad habits? And when I read this portion of the book, and again, I've linked that to my website so you guys can check it out for yourselves, but when I was going through this portion of the book, I felt myself really resistant to identifying your triggers, because that means you have to kind of pay attention to your behavior. And, well, let's just say it's work. All right, number 5, the last on my little list of ways that you can utilize the compound effect is bookend your days. Now, this tool has been highly helpful for me. I'm grateful to have learned this kind of life process a long time ago. So the basic idea would be, like, let's say brushing your teeth before you go to bed and then when you wake up, right? That's a bookend. You do it in the morning and in the evening. And I was first introduced again to this concept a long time ago, and I didn't really grasp the power of it until just recently. It's actually medication that made me realize the importance of setting up a habit that you do right when you wake up and right before you go to sleep. So I've shared with everyone here in the podcast that I've had an injury, and boy, have I learned a lot about self-care through injury. We're going to have a whole podcast on it because, good Lord, you learn a lot, right? So they gave me medication that I was to take at a specific time, and it just so happened it was basically when I woke up in the morning and when I went to bed in the evening. And this became a bookend to my day. And it became a ritual, right? Like, I'd have to remember to have, you know, a glass of water by the nightstand. I kind of had to remember to have water somewhere near in the morning. And there were a couple of times where I had to kind of remind myself, like, to set the pills out so where I could see them or remember, because I'd spend, like, that first, like, 5-10 minutes, like, digging for them. And, of course, waking, you know, you don't want to wake up, like, looking for something. That's always anxiety-driven. So anyway, I would make sure that they were set out for myself so I could just get up, take them, and get on with my routine. Long story short, the idea of the compound effect and bookending your days is that you can choose to change that behavior, so you could replace it, like the medication that I was taking, with a positive affirmation. Or, like I said before, in the tracking portion, maybe it's journaling 3 things you're grateful for that day. And you make it a habit that you start your day that way and you end your day that way. Maybe if you're a religious person and it's part of your daily ritual to pray or send a prayer or affirmations or good things out into the world, whatever it is you do, maybe you start and end your day that way. Maybe you meditate. Maybe that's your bookends. Maybe, like I said before, with the water situation, maybe you have a glass of water very first thing when you wake up. Right when you wake up, you have a big glass of water. And right before you go to sleep, you make sure you have another big glass of water. And the benefit of bookending your days is to kind of give you this sort of habitual, and hopefully it's a positive habitual reminder of assessing where you're at. So in the morning when you just kind of like hit the ground running and you just start into your day, you don't really plan or think ahead or kind of analyze like, okay, what are some things that I can accomplish in this next period of time? Or if you don't set yourself up for success to be able to accomplish the things you want to do that day, you're going to find yourself like running around ragged, like, oh, I forgot my book. Oh, I forgot my bag. Oh, I got to get this. Ah, you know, that's what the time suck becomes. And as I've talked about before with this compound effect, the whole purpose of a compound effect is to try and make everything as easy as possible. The basics of this concept is put your keys in the same spot every time. When you come in and you unlock the door, have like a hook or a bowl or whatever, where you always put your keys there, no matter what's going on. And then that way in the morning when you're going to leave the house, your keys are always in the same spot. It saves you time in the long run because you're not searching the whole house. You're not digging through your coat pocket. You're not digging through. And it's the same with your wallet, your phone, whatever. You make things automated so they just become natural. And the way that relates to self-care is that once you start getting into the habit of putting up the boundaries, saying no, and doing things that are only for you, that allow you the time to, you know, read the books that you want to read, plan the vacations, or to sit down and just be quiet, or to enjoy a hot cup of tea, whatever it is, as you make that a part of your routine and it becomes automated, you're going to find out that you require less and less and less support from the people around you. It's insane. It's like you become your own fountain of youth. You become the self-feeding mechanism so that you don't become dependent on others. So, I mean, this is a great, phenomenal way to make self-care become an everyday, just as natural to you as brushing your teeth. So I want to go over those with you real quick again. These, again, were the 5 different ways that you can start utilizing the compound effect right now. So 1 was to set a goal. 2 was to develop a pre-shot routine. 3 was tracking. 4 was identify your triggers. I got to work on that one. And 5, bookend your days. So there you go, and I want to let you know all of this goodness can be found at my website. No need to write it down. And you know what? I really hope that these small ideas can do some real good for you guys. All right, you guys, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have a story and you'd like to be on the show, let me know. Send me an email. It's Kris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. Okay, you guys, we've got some really great content coming your way, so stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.